Good morning, church family. I hope y'all are doing great this morning. It is May 31st, and so you know what that means. Next week, we are going to be meeting in person, in church. It's going to be a time of celebration. We're going to meet at 9 o'clock and 10:30, and I'm looking forward to seeing you. I'm looking forward to seeing every single one of you in our church. And I hope that you've been enjoying this sermon series on the Holy Spirit. I hope that it's been encouraging to you, and I hope that you're studying and reading alongside of me. It's been life-changing for me as well, opening up these scriptures and seeing who the Holy Spirit is and kind of digging deeper into the Holy Spirit as a person. I think sometimes we can take advantage of the people that are close to us. And it's like in marriage, you know, sometimes we take for granted time with our spouse, our time with our kids, and the Holy Spirit is always with us. He never leaves us. If you've said yes to Jesus, then the Holy Spirit, the power of God, is living inside of you. And so seeing this and opening this up, it's been a blessing for me. And this morning, I'm going to start off with a lot of scripture, and I hope that's okay. I believe that if we're going to get into God's word, we need to do it right, and we can never go wrong with looking at God's word. And I want to lay some background with you, because a lot happens in this point in scripture. We're going to be in Luke chapter 4, and right before that, this is when Jesus is baptized, and God says in an audible voice, "This is my son who I'm well pleased." And it says that the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove, that the Holy Spirit came and descended upon Jesus like a dove. And I always like when the Bible says like something, you know, when the Bible says descended on him like a dove, because it's the Bible trying to tell us something supernatural and explaining it in a natural way. The Holy Spirit came and descended on Jesus like a dove. It's trying to put into context for us what the Holy Spirit is like. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Then the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread.' But Jesus told him, 'No, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone.' Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. 'I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and the authority over them,' the devil said, 'because they are mine, and they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me.' Jesus replied, 'The scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him.' Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, 'If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up in their hands, and you won't even hurt your foot on a stone.' Jesus replied, 'The scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God.' When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came." There's so much context in this scripture. There's so much theologically that happens, and it's so deep for us to look at this scripture. But what I don't want us to miss this morning when looking at this and looking at these scriptures is that Jesus was fully man. When we sometimes read scripture, we think, well, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is this God-man. The Bible will say that he will get all of his honor and glory at another point. Jesus was fully man in this situation. In this circumstance, he was fully man. I want you to get this perspective this morning, and I want you to let it change how you think that Jesus, the man, had not eaten for 40 days and had not drank anything for 40 days. I want you to realize, and I want you to see that Jesus's body was depleted, that Jesus's body was worn out and it was tired. He had not eaten, and the devil was coming at him. The devil came to him and they have this exchange. They have this moment where they're going back and forth. And I want you to see that Jesus would have been extremely weak. He'd have been extremely tired at this point. And some will say that he was even struggling to stay alive. He was struggling to even stand. The devil comes and there's so much taken out of him. There was so much energy that was going in. It required so much energy to be in this moment for Jesus. And after the angels came and they ministered to Jesus and they restored and they strengthened Jesus, we couldn't understand the gravity of this situation or this circumstance. We it's hard for us to fully understand this. God comes and he creates Adam to have a relationship. He creates Eve to have a relationship, to have communion with his people, but they sinned, and so a new plan had to come in and take place. Jesus, he did this for you and I. Jesus came and he did this for you and I. He came full of the Holy Spirit. That's what the scriptures tell us this morning. God came and created Adam and Eve so that he could have communion and relationship with people. He created you and I so that he could have relationship and communion with you and I. And what's beautiful about this is Jesus did all this so that he could understand our hurt. He goes through these tests and these trials and these tribulations so he could understand. So he can understand how we hurt. So he can understand how to love you through different tests and trials and tribulations. Jesus, he's fasting and he's in the wilderness and he's praying and he's being led by the Holy Spirit. Led by the Holy Spirit. We need to see that these temptations are the same temptations that Eve faced. We can go all the way back to Genesis and see that these are the same things that Eve faced. The devil still does this today. This is what the devil does. He said, did God say that you could not eat from that tree, that you couldn't eat of that apple? Eve saw it and Eve wanted it. It was her flesh. She wanted that apple. She wanted to be like God. Her thoughts consumed her. She wanted to be like God. He does this to Jesus. Turn that stone into bread. Let me give you all these kingdoms. You'll be like God. That's what he tempts Jesus with. Jesus goes and he undoes every mistake that's been made to this point. He goes and he undoes this situation, this circumstance with the enemy. And reading this And what the Holy Spirit is doing for Jesus, it gave me this revelation that the Holy Spirit does this for you and I too. The same Holy Spirit that was there with Jesus and ministering to Jesus and helping Jesus get through the wilderness is the same Holy Spirit that comes in and does this for you and I in our situation, in our circumstance, in our tests, in our trials, in our temptations. Jesus tells his disciples, stay here. Wait for the divine encourager. Wait for the Holy Spirit. He's coming to encourage you. He's coming to empower you. He's coming to encourage you today. Jesus had firsthand knowledge of the Holy Spirit and his goodness. Jesus, he wouldn't have gotten through the wilderness if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. He wouldn't have gotten through the wilderness if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. Jesus, he's standing in this moment, facing all these tests and all these trials, undoing all that's happened, doing it for you and I, giving us a pattern to live by with the Holy Spirit, to go through the wilderness, to go through tests and to go through trials and to go through any situation because we are empowered by the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. Church, I want to tell you, reading these scriptures this morning, this is a big moment for you and I. It's a big moment for us as Christians when we can realize that the same Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus is the same Holy Spirit that empowers you and I today. This happening, Jesus having this conversation with the enemy, with the devil, it echoes throughout history. And it's echoing throughout history still today. I'm so grateful that when I was reading this, that Jesus understands what we go through. Jesus understands what you're facing this morning. Jesus understands because he went through it himself, but he couldn't have gotten through it if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. Jesus struggling at times, being tempted by the enemy. Jesus was weak and weary and feeling like, you know, I can't do it. And the Holy Spirit was taking him and leading him through the wilderness. I love this thought, church. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you. God, we ask right now, Lord, that you will open up our hearts and our minds to receive the word that you have for us this morning. God, we pray that it's your Holy Spirit that's coming in and it's encouraging us and empowering us this morning. God, we pray right now for our families. God, we pray right now for our spouses. Lord, we pray for the people that we're going to come in contact with. God, that it's your Holy Spirit that is doing something inside of us, that's giving us that smile or giving us that joy or giving us that peace in the middle of every circumstance and trial and situation that we find ourselves in. God, we pray this morning that it's nothing significant that I have to say, but God, it's everything significant that you've done and that you're going to continue to do. We love you and we thank you. It's in your name we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to admit to you this morning, at times I'm not a good follower. I'm not a good follower. And I want to tell you what I mean, because it's not that I always want to lead. It's not that I always want to be in this leadership position, because I'm totally good with sitting in the corner of the room and just listening to the room. What I'm trying to tell you is, when it comes to driving, I'm not always a good follower. I would rather be the one in front, you know, with my foot all the way on the accelerator, instead of following other people. My dad and I, we used to deliver a lot of pumps and things to the oil field, and we worked really well together. My dad and I did. We would wake up early in the morning and we would get after it. We would truck all day long. But there was sometimes that we had to follow somebody else because we didn't know where the location was. So we would, you know, get there and we would get loaded and we would have to follow so-and-so out in the middle of nowhere, through San Antonio, out in the middle of nowhere. And so that was hard for me at times, because I'm not a good follower when it comes to me getting in the vehicle. He would stay in the right lane, and there was entry points and there was exits, and every time somebody was getting on the interstate, we had to slow down, and anytime somebody was getting off the interstate, he had to hit the brakes. And so it was this guy, it was me and my dad, and it took us forever to get there. You know, and the whole time I'm sitting there and I'm frustrated. I'm wanting to go faster. I'm wanting to get to this location. I'm wanting to make this delivery. I'm wanting to get home. And it seemed like it took us 3 hours to get there. But after we got unloaded, it took me 30 minutes to get back, because I hammered down. I want to tell you, sometimes I'm not a good follower. Sometimes I'm not a good follower when it comes to me being in the vehicle. And I wanted to ask you today, are you a good follower? I wanted to ask you, are you easy to lead? Are you easy to lead? The Holy Spirit led Jesus. That's the first thing that I want you to write down. The Holy Spirit led Jesus. And this thought of the Holy Spirit leading Jesus, if Jesus needed to be led, who are we to think that we don't need to be led? If Jesus needed to be led, who are we to think that we don't need to be led? The scriptures say that the Holy Spirit led Jesus. The Holy Spirit went in front of Jesus. Some translations will say that the Holy Spirit pressed him, or the Holy Spirit pushed him into the wilderness. I want to ask you this morning, are you being led by the Spirit? I want to ask you, are you being led by the Spirit? The Holy Spirit led him to where he was going. It was leading him. It was guiding him. It was directing Jesus. Being led means that you're following the Holy Spirit, his voice and his prompting, and how he's leading you, and how he's talking to you. Maybe there's something that in your life the Holy Spirit is trying to lead you out of. Maybe there's something in your life that the Holy Spirit is trying to lead you into. into something new, into new territory, into something different. Sometimes when we're being led, we're leaving behind things. We're leaving behind addictions. We're leaving behind our old way of thinking. We're leaving behind that season, and we're stepping in to something new. The Bible says that he calls us out of the darkness and into the light. In 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. I want to tell you this morning that you are God's special possession. That's how he thinks of you. That's how he views you. That's how he sees you, as his special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who were called out of darkness and into his wonderful light. He's calling you, church. He's leading you. He's beckoning you. Sometimes it's a nudge. Sometimes it's a pull. Sometimes it's a push. Sometimes it's him leading in and saying, follow me. Let me lead you. Let me lead you out of that. Let me lead you out of that season. The Holy Spirit is positioning you. He's positioning you. The Holy Spirit is leading you where you need to go. In Galatians 5 and verse 16, so I walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you don't do whatever you want. I want to ask you this morning, have you ever had a fight in you? Has there ever been a fight in you? The Spirit is wrestling with the flesh. The Spirit is fighting with the flesh. You may be wanting to go this direction, but the Holy Spirit is saying, no, I want you to go this direction. You may be wanting to gossip or start a rumor, but the Holy Spirit's, no, shut your mouth. Don't do that. You may want to go back into that addiction, but the Holy Spirit is saying, no, come this way. Let me lead you. Let me guide you. Let me direct you. But the Holy Spirit is there saying that there's another way. The Holy Spirit is there whispering purpose into your ear. The Holy Spirit is there saying, man, there's a new path for you. That God has this plan for you. I want you to go this direction. I want to lead you over here. I want to lead you to greener pastures. Sometimes, church, we can put so much pressure on ourselves. Why do we do that? Why do we put so much pressure on ourselves to get it done ourselves when the Holy Spirit, he's there and he's saying, just let me lead you. It's not about you, but it's about God. Just sit back and let me lead. Just sit back and let me comfort you. Just sit back and let me encourage you. Stop putting so much pressure on yourself and let me do it. Stop putting so much pressure on yourself and let me be that voice that leads you and guides you. The next thing that I want you to write down is the Holy Spirit prepares you. The Holy Spirit, it prepares you. When the Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you and empowering you and prompting you, he's preparing you for something in the future. He's preparing you for something greater. He's setting you up. He's positioning you. He's fixing to do something great in you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. And some translations are going to say, let him into trial or testing or tempting. And I want to tell you this morning, all three are true. All three of them are true. Sometimes we can read and we can think, why would we want to be led by the Holy Spirit if he's going to lead us into a trial or into a test or into a tribulation? But know that the Holy Spirit wants to lead you through it. He's not just going to lead you into it and leave you, but the Holy Spirit wants to lead you through it. When the Holy Spirit led Jesus, he stayed with him. He empowered him. He encouraged him. He loved him. The same goes for you and I today. The Spirit of God living inside of us, when we go through a trial or a situation or a circumstance, he's there and he's leading us and guiding us and empowering us and loving us through that season, through that circumstance, through that trial. He may be leading you into the wilderness, but it's preparation for something greater. He's preparing you for something greater. He has something in store for you. In the wilderness, Jesus, he was out there alone. He was out there alone, just him and the Spirit of God living in him. He was alone. But I want you to understand something, church, that there's a difference in being alone and being lonely. Jesus was alone. A person that can't be alone will miss out on what God has for him, because we need to make time to be alone with God. We need to make time to be alone in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of God. You can look throughout the Bible and see people that were alone with God in the wilderness, in the desert. They were alone with God. They made time to be alone with God. These were all moments that God was using to prepare these people for something greater. In your life right now, you may feel alone, but know that God is using this time and this season to prepare us, to prepare you for something even better, for something even greater. In every season, there's preparation, there's potential, there's power. This has to be our perspective. When we enter a tough season, when we enter into the wilderness, that we don't see it as, oh man, that's too tough. Oh man, I can't do that. But if we can see it as potential of what God's going to do in that problem and in that situation, if we can say, man, this is going to be for God. This is going to be because of God's power. I'm going to have to lean on him. There's potential in this problem. The Holy Spirit is preparing you. I want to tell you, church, he's positioning you. He's setting you up for the next season to do something great. He leads Jesus into the wilderness. I want you to look at David. David, he was ordained to be a king as a boy. The prophet comes in and he sees David and he ordains and anoints David to be king. And as soon as he's done doing that, David goes back to be alone with the sheep. He says, man, let me go back to be alone with the sheep. Let me go back and tend to the sheep. This is cool, man. Like, yeah, I'll be king, but just let me get back out there with the sheep. Let me go back to being alone. His brothers, they're in the king's army. They're getting promoted and they're stacking success. And all of his brothers, they look more like kings than David does. David's out in the field with a harp and some sheep and he's working, and it's dirty work. It's blue collar work. It's dirty and hard work, church. David's out there alone. This is his alone time. This is God setting him up and preparing him and positioning him. David, during that time, he became a worshiper. David, during that time, he wrote psalms and he wrote songs and he worshiped God. He had a song in his heart. He was alone with God. Not on a battlefield, not on front of people, not on a stage, not saying, look at me, but David was behind the scenes working. David was behind the scenes and he was serving. David, a moment in his life, a bear came up. And David saw that his sheep were in trouble, and so he fought off the bear. A lion shows up, and David sees that the sheep are in trouble, and he fights off a lion. It wasn't the right day for that lion. David, he shows up on a battlefield, and Goliath, he's out there running his mouth, and he says, I'll take care of that. Let me take care of that. The king says, have you ever fought before? Can you even wear this armor, boy? This armor doesn't fit you. And David says, I fought off a bear and God delivered me. I fought off a lion and God delivered me, and surely he'll deliver me when it comes to this giant. He made time to be alone. It's perspective, church. When you open your eyes and you see that situation, and you may see that mountain in front of you, but it's perspective. It's not a problem. It's potential. It's how God's going to use you and position you. It's how he's setting you up. We're going to go through things, church, that are meant to prepare us. We're going to go through things that are meant to position us. What will you choose? Will you see the problem, or will you see potential in it? The choice is always going to be up to us. Will we choose to see a problem, or will we see potential? With the Holy Spirit, we can see potential in that problem. We can see potential in that circumstance, potential in that situation. We can see potential in that person that everybody is writing off. I want to tell you that nobody's too far gone. I think that every professional athlete right now that aspires to be great, that desires greatness, it doesn't matter if it's the NBA or the NFL or Major League Baseball or soccer. I don't care what it is. I think that every athlete right now that desires to be great, they're working. I think they're preparing. I think they're training. They're not just sitting around. They're preparing for greatness, preparing for the next season. I think God is preparing us for this next season. It's perspective. It's how we choose to see it. And in whatever problem or situation or circumstance, it's potential. Can you say, I wonder what God is going to do with this? Can you say, I wonder how God is going to use this situation? Can you say, I wonder how God is going to use me in this situation? We can go to Scripture in 1 Peter 1:6, and in all of this, you will greatly rejoice now, though for now, a little while, you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. What you do here, it'll set you free. We may have to suffer. We may be going through a season, but church, no, that's not going to last forever. That situation, that circumstance, you're not stuck. You're not going to last forever. It goes on to say these trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus is revealed to the whole world. It says that it will bring you much praise and honor and glory when Jesus comes back. He's preparing you, church. He's positioning you. He's setting you up. Number one, he leads. Number two, he prepares. And the last point is he empowers you. The Holy Spirit empowers you. In Luke 4:13, when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. In your weakness, he is strong. In your weakness, he empowers you. It says, when the devil was finished, Jesus was like, is that all you got? Is that it? The Bible says, if all you can do is stand, then stand. In your trial, if all you can do is stand, then stand. Square back your shoulders and plant your feet and tell the enemy that you are a child of God. I think that the devil, I think he hates to mess with Christians. I really do. I think that he hates to mess with Christians because every time we get stronger, every time he comes to attack or give us a trial or a tribulation, we come back better. Why? Because we're going to stand in the Holy Spirit. We're going to stand empowered by the Spirit of God that is living inside of us. It said that the enemy left for another opportunity. The Bible says that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, but he emerged from the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you that Jesus is the model for our situations? Jesus is the model for our situation in life. Can I tell you that last week, those dudes that were empowered by the Holy Spirit, they go out and they preach the gospel of Jesus and 3,000 are saved, and they started a movement that still continues today. Can I tell you that in your life, the Spirit wants to lead you and guide you and direct you and encourage you and empower you? Can I tell you that this morning, the Holy Spirit wants to empower you with the Spirit of God? Our prayer in the mornings needs to be that the power of the Holy Spirit will be revealed in our lives. This series and studying the Holy Spirit, church, if I'm being honest with you, it's awakened something in me. When I read it, it's awakened the Spirit inside of me to know that he never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. The Holy Spirit is with you, and he's walking with you, and he's whispering in your ear. I don't want my focus to be what's going on in the world with this virus and with our government and with the stock market, because God is not surprised by any of that. But it's the Holy Spirit in our ear whispering, you're called. You have a purpose. I've anointed you. You're a holy priesthood. Our focus, it has to be turned to heaven. It has to be turned to what God's doing. You may feel like you're in the wilderness. You may feel like you can't get out of this certain situation or circumstance or addiction, but will you lean into the Holy Spirit this morning and say, man, I can't do it on my own. I need you to lead me through this addiction, through these thoughts, through this time where I feel lonely. But know, church, that in those moments where you're alone with God, he's setting you up and he's preparing you and he's fixing to position you for something greater. Amen. Father, Lord, this morning we love you. And God, we pray right now that your Holy Spirit will just come and minister to every one of us, that your Holy Spirit will come and just rest in our homes. It'll rest and it'll whisper in our ear what we need to hear, because your Holy Spirit, it speaks to us differently, individually. It speaks to us different. It whispers to us different. It prompts us and pushes us and impresses us different. God, we're praying right now, God, that your Holy Spirit will just come and minister to our homes, minister to our people, minister to anybody that is listening to this message right now. God, we pray for your power, not our power, God, but your power to endure. Our power is useless, but God, through you, we can persevere. God, this morning, we love you and we thank you. We're thankful for who you are. We're thankful for what you've done. And God, we're thankful for what you're going to continue to do. Lord, we pray as next week, as we come together and we gather together, God, that it'll be your timing, that it'll be a time of celebration, that we get to come back together as a church and worship you all together in unity. We love you, God. It's in your name we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.